everybody.
Recording in progress.
You can tell everybody, go ahead, everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when it got sold. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody.
Yes, folks, this is not therapy. We do hope that you gain from the information and that if you're considering, you know, working with a therapist, you find that therapist. Yes, we are psychologists, but you're not in the chair. Nobody's getting billed. And also, we don't want to be sued. So take this information at your own risk. We're just having conversations here and hoping to drop some nuggets.
One of which is the infamous slap. So those of you who were watching the Oscars got a bit of a surprise. And we saw Mr. Willard Smith lay hands on, and I do not mean in the religious, spiritual terms, but he laid hands on Mr. Christopher Rock. And we thought we'd just for a second give our opinions and perspectives on what we think we saw, why we think it happened, and was this more than just a moment? Was this more than, was this something more, something deeper than just a joke? Or was there something deeper there? So Dr. Chapman, when you first saw this, what was your initial reaction and response to it all?
Yeah, you know, when I first saw it, it came across my stream because I'm not the type of person that sits and watches the Oscars, you know, shout out to everybody who does. But when it came across my stream, I was surprised. I really didn't know what to think about it at first, and then I just saw all the other blowback that was coming. I think some people, when they saw it, they thought it was first, it was a joke. I could tell when I saw it wasn't a joke, but I guess I was a little taken aback. What about you?
Initially, when I saw it, I initially thought that this cat is coming unhinged. I didn't think it was a joke. My initial response, my initial reaction to it wasn't that it was a joke because of Chris Rock's reaction to it after. It looked genuine. He genuinely looked a bit disheveled and discombobulated. So that it, at the very least, I knew it wasn't planned. Whatever happened, I knew it wasn't planned. Mm-hmm. But he took the slap well, so I was like, I think it was after he, and then especially after he went back to see and start to yell, and he did it twice, and the way he was swearing, I was like, okay, this is real. Like, something real just happened. And when Chris Rock tried to keep it together, it was obvious that it wasn't planned. It was obvious it was disheveled. And I thought to myself, this cat has had enough. This guy absolutely, it made perfect sense. It made perfect sense that he would do something like that, to be the butt of the joke for at least the last couple of years now. I was like, somebody's going to get it. And it just so happened to be him.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He has that family, but particularly him, the memes have, even for me, and I'm not even him, have been unbearable. Like, he's got a crying meme just like Jordan.
Yeah. That you know what? I'm trying to decipher in my mind if that crying meme, because obviously it's been going on now with what's just happened. But I feel like it was kind of a hot thing before, where you were seeing that Will meme. And it was clustered with other people, like you saw the Jordan meme, Kanye, and others. But,
So I believe he had enough. I just think that he had been the butt of the joke for so long and so often. And I think that it was pressure. He felt pressure from his wife to do something.
Okay, now those are two separate things, separate points.
I think it's all interconnected in some way. He is fed up, and he is the butt of the joke because of her.
Okay.
Her reaction that he got up and did something. People say that he was laughing in the beginning. Sometimes people laugh when they're uncomfortable. I don't know why he was laughing. So I don't know if he was laughing because he thought it was funny or if it was an uncomfortable thing. But when he looked at her and she gave that look, I think he felt compelled to do something. And it had to be overboard because he has been underwhelming for her their entire relationship, if you listen to some of her words.
Yeah, that's... Okay, yeah, we just gonna jump right in. Okay, so, well, I think that, to some degree, it is interconnected. And when I look back at it, I think there's a lot to think about, the way that people are talking about it, whether the incident was, obviously, it was an act of violence, and so there's that element. But there's also what comes after in terms of what the consequences are, and not just the consequences with the Oscars, but the consequences all the way around with the other stuff and how people feel about that. And the incident itself. So obviously there's some impact of however Jada reacted to it and how he reacted to it. And I agree with you. I've seen plenty of people laugh when they were upset, or show you something. You could tell a person that somebody just passed away and they might actually laugh. Or show you something that doesn't make sense because it hasn't fully hit them yet.
Yeah.
Or they don't know what to do with it and they're still processing it. And so a laugh doesn't really mean much until you see what comes after it when a person gets to process everything that has just happened. What I think is, as I'm thinking about the action trying not to judge it, just trying to piece it apart, because I think everybody who, not everybody, but a lot of people that are thinking, oh, I would never do that, really don't know what's going to be a hot wire topic for them. That's not condoning his behavior. It's just, I feel like people are looking at it and judging it from a place of higher than, better than, and they don't know how they might react to a certain situation or what's going to be. If this was the straw that broke the camel's back, people don't necessarily know what that straw is going to be. But I guess the interesting thing about when he did react is it seemed like a combination of impulsive and calculated at the same time. So obviously it had an impulsive nature to it, but he had to get up, he had to walk to the stage, and the nature of the slap. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody, but it was, I think, a combination of impulsive and calculated. I don't know. What do you think? That's just like my thought. What do you think about that?
I think the slap was calculated. This entire act wasn't, again, he said he was protecting his wife. He wasn't. He's been made fun of for a long time. And he wants to show people that he is still Big Willie from Philly.
Okay.
That was an outward show of masculinity, in my opinion. He wanted people to know that I'm not a punk, that I'm not a man. That wasn't, it's like if somebody insults your girlfriend or your wife or your partner and you're not there, you're upset. If someone insults, if you're walking and y'all coming out of the movies and a guy insults your girlfriend in front of you, what that means is he's insulting her, but he's also saying, and you so weak, you're not going to do nothing.
Right.
So he's really insulting both of you. So what I'm saying is he needed to show, not just in that moment, but for the last 2 years, I've been emasculated. And I'm going to show y'all that I'm not a joke. The slap was calculated because to slap another man is the utmost disrespect. That I think that you're so weak, I won't even punch you. And this is not me. I'm saying from male masculinity society standpoint. You're like women, like typically, men typically punch other men. Okay? And I know this seems stereotypical, but I'm saying from this space, women slap women and men slap men. Now, I know that there are women that slap women. For those that are out there, I'm not trying to be sexist. I'm talking about from a societal normative standpoint. You know what I'm saying? From a male perspective, if I were to slap a man, I am saying that is a sign that I am saying you are weak. You're not even strong enough for me to punch. You are beneath me. You are a punk. And I'm going to treat you like women treat women. I'm going to smack. Mm-hmm. A smack is the ultimate emasculating disrespect to a man. To smack him was to try to emasculate Chris Rock. That's what makes it so bad. So he was trying to show that he's a man, and the smack was an emasculation of Chris. That's what that was.
All right, so let's stay on that for a second. That's, you know, and I think there are some cultural components too. You know, we heard, oh, I'll slap the taste out of your mouth, that type of thing.
Yeah.
In our group. But also, that to me shows a possible form of projection that is happening here.
Yes.
So obviously, when Chris says what he says, there's we could talk about the joke and whether it's well placed considering a person who did a whole documentary on black hair. But besides that, coming back to the idea of projection. So I have felt, as you're saying, for all of this time that I've been being emasculated. And that emasculation in his mind probably starts with Jada. For those of you that are Jada fans, I'm just talking about maybe Will's perspective.
I will in a minute. Continue.
Okay, so he might have been feeling for all this time that he's been being emasculated by Jada, and then he gets emasculated by society, and now Chris Rock is going to do another level of testing that whole dynamic, because he was talking to Jada that sparks, though, and you've done it in a public forum. Now I have to respond in a public forum in order to un-emasculate myself. How do I do that? By emasculating you.
Yeah.
Very publicly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's ridiculous. And again, you said no shade on Jada. I'm about to throw an eclipse. Look, this woman, God bless her, really has a hold on this man's mind, soul, and spirit. And I truly feel, is she truly the woman for you? Would your queen actually sit and watch you make a mistake and not stop you? Really? And yeah, she laughed when it happened because it was all for her. And it's like, I just, again, I just feel like a queen would have been like, nah. I said, nope. Catch him outside. Catch him backstage. You know what I mean?
Right.
When they talk about a couple being head in the neck, and the head can't move no word out the neck.
Yeah.
It's like couples are teams. No, when she saw him get up, she could have ran up and caught him, for he was walking slow. She could have ran up and caught him at them steps and turned him around. But she didn't.
Of course. And possibly she might know him well enough to know what would take him there. You know what I'm saying? If that's her man, just hypothetically, she probably knows him well enough to know if he set off like that.
Yeah. She saw his reaction when she looked at him. She saw his face change. She saw his demeanor change. So that is what I wonder is, what kind of person would watch you do something like that and not be mindful of the stage of where we are? Chill. Yo. Didn't say yo. Didn't say chill. Didn't say come back. Yo. Didn't try to run up and catch. She could have ran up and caught him. She got alopecia. She ain't in a wheelchair. She could have walked. She could have got up and stopped him. And then she laughed when it happened. And then through my, I saw this, was it Vanity Fair? She did an interview, said she don't need protected.
Yeah, exactly.
Bro, I just, what do you, and why is this cat letting this happen?
Yeah, I mean, multiple things. One, I don't know what she would say, because if she would have said, yeah, I want him to defend me, she's not going to look good. I think politically, I don't know. I don't know how she really feels inside her heart, but I can see why she would say that answer. I guess the other thing that is, even though I think it's a combination of impulsive and calculated, when people look at it from the outside and are judging the behavior, I think that, again, people don't recognize what it might be. I'm not condoning it, y'all. I'm just saying I work with lots of different people, work with couples and different situations, and I see people all the time who go to levels they don't believe that they would go to. And it's never just that one incident. Like sometimes that the whoever it's happening to or whatever it does, they're talking about that incident, but it's never that. There's these whole bunch of other things that are, you know, stewing and come up. And so my whole point there is, as easy it is as it is to point the finger, most people have not really dug through their stuff and don't know what that button is going to be. Now, because he's a public figure, he gets all this light and all this look at what he did and how he did it and what he should do about it and how he should control himself. And me and you can imagine that. I mean, we're not actually public figures, but we teach in the classroom. So I can put this in context to that, except for it wouldn't be a joke. But I've had students who have said things to me, which let's just say they rubbed me the wrong way. And, you know, again, people don't think, oh, Dr. Chapman's ready to fight students. No, I'm just saying, sometimes I've heard people talk to me in front of people ways that I find very disrespectful. And because of where I'm at, I have to think about how I'm going to respond. It doesn't mean I want to disrespect the student. I'm just saying, if it would have been another situation, I might have said things a little differently because of the way I felt you came at me.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone asked me once, how do I know? Well, give me some signs to know. And this was actually a couple I was working with. Well, I do, you know, with couples, I talk to them together, I talk to them individually. How do I know I'm in a bad situation? And I said, one of the things you can ask yourself is, I said, do you know yourself? Do you know who you are? Yeah, I know who I am. I said, Does this person or this relationship or situation have you acting out of character? And we just sat there, checking phones, checking work, checking email. Are you acting out of character? And when I'm in a situation that somebody got me smacking folks and running up on stage and crying at the red, this is like, why isn't there a reevaluation of? I wonder, are they having an evaluation and reevaluation of us? Is this a healthy situation for both of us? When she wasn't attacked or being attacked, her honor wasn't at stake or anything. And everybody can, to anyone out here listening, I'm going to say it, and I don't care how you feel about it. She has alopecia. I've never heard so many people say alopecia that have never heard of alopecia. She is not famous. I don't care what nobody say. Nobody knew. That red table stuff that she do is not front page news. I'm not saying that I've never seen one. I'm not saying people never see one. I'm not trying to check. I'm not trying to be insulting. I'm being honest. She's not some A-list actor out here who all of her stuff is front page constantly. So this idea of how she, everybody's falling in line about, you know, oh, well, she had this and it was wrong. And they try. I just think that the people who are trying to justify Will Smith's behavior wish somebody loved him enough to respond and react to them and for them that way. And I said it. Walk up on me and try to smack me because I said it. And that's really what it is, because you wish somebody loved you enough to react and respond to you and for you like that. At the end of the day, that's wrong. I don't care if you're in the hood. I don't care if you're on the street. I don't care if you're rich. Right. I don't care if you're poor. I don't care where you are. If I'm with somebody, you know what I'm saying?
Right. But let's go there for a second, okay? So I think that's, there could be lots of reasons why people back Will. And also, lots of reasons why people are anti-Will in this situation.
But how many good reasons are out there? But go ahead.
But I think that one thing that comes up, you know, I think we talked about this before. Why do people like superheroes and stuff? People get involved in these situations and it's all about them anyways. Like, they're not seeing Will Smith and Jada. They're seeing their own circumstances and they're seeing them reflected. So they're like, oh, I bet my man better. He better do something if some star do something. Like, not first of all, now this is setting some type of weird precedent for the random dude who's like in there, and then some comedian chooses him and his girl. You know,
it's dangerous.
I know when I go see a comedian, I try not to sit right in the front because I don't even want that situation.
Want that smoke?
But you know, when that situation happens, you got the girl. Some of them are like, you gonna let him say that? You gonna just let him say you better lose your career over me? That's crazy, girl. Yep. You know what I'm saying?
It's insane. This, like you said, you're right. This undue pressure now men feel. If I was with somebody and it was like, so-and-so at work said something to me, the first thing I'm going to say is, did you say something back? You got a mouth? Did the man put his hands on you? Did he push you? Did he put his hands on you? If he did, and it's a situation that's dangerous for you, then I'm coming to the rescue. But you got a mouth. If we together and somebody say something, you got a mouth? Say what you got to say. But if you get in your space, then it's going to be like, okay, partner, this is turning into something different now. I just think that people, this whole protecting me and you got to stand, like, I don't know. I just don't think that that's what happened. I don't think that she was in danger. I don't think her honor was at stake. This alopecia thing, nobody knew. I don't think that he knew. Stop trying to act like, you know what I'm saying, she was up for some Oscar and she's some A-list person, and that's no shade, that's no disrespect to her, you know what I'm saying? She's amazing, she's had an amazing career. I appreciate her work, I like her work, but for the most part, when you think of A-listers, like the red table is not front and center, you know, like every week. So it's very possible that Chris didn't know, I didn't know, you didn't know, 95% of people that I know didn't know, most, you know, famous people didn't know. He was just making a joke. It's just, that's just what it was. And if it wasn't cool, he should have pulled him to the side and been like, bro, that wasn't cool. I didn't appreciate that. She didn't appreciate that. But again, when you've been emasculated for so long, he had enough. And he's tired of people, quote unquote, punking him in public. That's all that was.
I do think that there's probably some, I don't think he picked that person to make a joke on willy-nilly. I mean, Chris Rock is calculated too. You know, maybe he didn't think he was going to have the blowback that it was going to have. And rather he's talked about the hair or not. I mean, I know there's a history of him making jokes specifically about Jada. So that's another thing that I think is valid, has some validity to it.
He made one joke about her.
Okay, but still, that to somebody, that's a line of you become the person that's being attacked in that person's mind. You made one joke about me. There's been so many Oscars, and I'm the butt of the joke most of the time. That's what it appears like to that person. I'm not saying the actions are right, but I could see how someone might feel targeted.
I can appreciate that. You put it that way, I can appreciate that. I still, like you said, I think we're both in agreement that did it warrant that response? And right. It probably didn't. And that response, I don't know. I just wonder about this relationship. I really do.
I think it brings a good point about the relationship, right? Because the dynamics of the relationship, this was a relationship issue. Because it might have been different if Chris Rock had said something about Will Smith. We don't know. But maybe it would have been different. Maybe it would have just rolled off of him. I don't know. But the dynamic overall, and then the other thing that I think doesn't get highlighted as much, even though it's highlighted some, is the good, at least maybe not, I don't know if they're actual relationships that Will Smith has, but the people that interjected, like Denzel and Tyler Perry, and I think, man, you really want people like that in your life. You know, people that are going to see you in your least shining moment. Everybody want to be around when you're shining. No one want to be around when you like accidentally clowning or have like a flawed moment. Everybody turn their back on you.
Yeah.
So for that moment, and do what Jada should have done. Like, oh, before it, like, hey, you know, let's think about this. Let's, because you need that sometimes. You know, I know people don't want to admit it, don't want to act. They think everything is all, they always have it together. But realistically, if you're human, you're going to have a moment. And I'm not saying all moments are going to be extreme, but we all have moments.
Yeah. And you know what? It's rumored that this ain't the first time he didn't hit somebody at Oscars. It's rumored that I think, and somebody check me if I'm wrong, but he beat up Ethan Hawke at an Oscars. Like, beat him up and like knocked him out backstage or something. And they left, and they left, and the reason that they gave was, like, their daughter, she was younger at the time. It happened a while ago, and she was sick, so they had to leave the Oscars in her because she was sick. When in actuality, the story came out later that he punched out Ethan Hawke backstage. So, again, maybe that's a rumor. Again, those out there, don't quote me. I'm not trying to get sued by the Smiths. If you're out there listening, God bless you. I love you, the Smiths. But something to think about. I don't know. It was just a rumor, but.
Well, what about this though? Okay, so that's his moment. Wasn't a good moment. Maybe he's had more than one moment. Sounds like that one and whatever other moments. What do you think about a person? And mainly it's because they're in the spotlight, being judged primarily by a moment.
I think that's the hard part about being famous. Is that they really are just normal people that just so happen to have a craft that they make a lot of money. Mm. They get sick, they get cheated on, they, you know, that their kids do things wrong. The problem is that when your entire life is under a microscope, it has to be hard. And it's rough. I think it's you can't, like, your entire life, you really don't get to have a life like normal people. So when something like that happens, I think it's not fair. All the good that this man has done in the world, all of the motivational speeches and everything that he has done to motivate people, you know what I'm saying? And you have one weak moment, and it potentially could, that'll never go away for the rest of his life, no matter what he does.
Right.
And it's truly sad. Yeah.
It's not going away because the meme game is way too strong.
Yeah, the meme game is way too strong. I mean, it's sad, you know, that he doesn't have the leeway that we do in our lives, that we can do things, we can move forward and go on, and we could pick up and move to another city if need be and create another life. And he will always be Will Smith no matter where he is in the world.
True.
So I think that's not fair. I think he had, look at me. I don't want to make it seem like I'm piling on him. I'm just saying, my perspective is, I feel sorry for him. I really do. I think it happened because he feels like he's been emasculated for the last few years. And like you said, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And I wish he would have reacted and responded in a different way, but it happened, you know? Right. And I think what's more important is, how did he get there? And what support does he have at home? Like, it just still baffles me that she didn't jump up and stop him. She knew he was mad when he got up. She saw his face.
Yeah. I think she didn't stop him. You know, I guess this is a little shade on Jada. I think she didn't stop him because maybe she liked drama. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Some people like drama. Red table thing. So I don't think it's too far for me to believe that she might like a little drama in her life. And this is the ultimate opportunity for some drama.
Yeah. I don't think that they thought that the windfall would be as it is, because a lot of movies have been stopped and, like, they're about to lose some bread behind this.
Yeah. The other thing, that question about what happens in the moment and how we judge people, is because I read all these different opinions about it. Some are like, oh, he shouldn't have made that mistake, and are specific on that moment. But others are like, no, Will Smith is a horrible person, blah, blah, blah. And they should definitely take that Oscar back. So I wonder what you think about that. Do you think, he's been punished a lot of different ways. Do you think he should have something that he already completed taken away?
No. I mean, I think Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. You can play baseball well. You can hit a baseball. And that has nothing to do with whether you're a good person or not. And if he did the best job acting, then he deserves it. That's mutually exclusive from whether you slamming doors and, you know, smacking whoever and doing whatever. That's mutually exclusive from how well you do your job. I mean, there are a lot of cats that have, we still praise Elvis Presley, and he was a child molester. Like, don't get me started. It's a whole lot of cats in these streets that get awards and are allowed back at the Oscars that have done some heinous things. So I don't think that he should be defined by this. I definitely don't think that he should give the Oscar back. He did his thing, you know, with his talents, and that's a reflection of his talent. It's not a reflection of his character. You know?
That's okay. Interesting too, right? Okay, so the Oscar's a reflection of his talent, it's not a reflection of his character. Is the slap a reflection of his character?
No, definitely not. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think he's a bad person. Mm-hmm. What scares me is this relationship for him. When somebody got you acting out of character, when you with somebody that got you up smacking folks, stop. Like, what are you doing? Like, that's my thing. I don't think he's a bad cat at all. I don't think he probably isn't a bad dude at all. I just think he's in this situation, and he's being emasculated by society, and he's in this relationship, and she said some stuff that's kind of like, man, bro, she seemed like she kind of been kind of getting on him in public too. Like, he's been getting it from all angles, and it's like, I don't know. The core central denominator of this seems to be his wife. Everything continues to track back to his wife. These memes are coming because of something that happened with him and his wife. This slap is connected to something with his wife. Like, everything comes back to his wife. Now, yeah. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be together, and I'm not necessarily saying she's the devil. I'm just saying that seems to be the common denominator. That seems to be the common denominator, though, right?
Okay, I mean, yeah. If it's there, it's there. Okay, but on that line, thinking about character and brother goes together, his relationships. It's an interesting point, because when a person has a body of work, or even let's just go back to Will, when you said, oh, the relationship, and it has to do with Jada, and it maybe it's Jada. Well, that's got me wondering, okay, I agree, Jada could be part of the equation. Do you think it's possible, though? I haven't read his book, Will, or whatever. I hear it's selling like hotcakes right now.
Yeah.
But do you think it's possible that there were some things going on with him, hypothetically, early on in his life that are just being activated by Jada? In other words, Jada is an equation. She's a variable. She's not necessarily, and I'm not saying his parents are the cause either. I'm just saying little things have been like implanted in him that are activated rightly, unfortunately, for this type of situation with Jada.
You know what? That's funny you bring this up that way, because I started to think about trans. I thought about this before. I thought about transactional analysis. I think she activates the child in him. I think that he has, and I've heard a little bit. I haven't read the book, but I know there was some abuse in the home and all of this kind of stuff. And you know as well as I do, when we did a whole series on trauma, like if you don't exercise that stuff, if you don't purge yourself of that stuff and talk about that stuff, it stays in your body. And I think that that type of stuff makes him attracted to probably a certain type of person. And I think that she does things that brings out, for a lack of a better term, the child in him. And when I say the child, I don't mean he acts as a child. I mean like defense mechanisms and responses and reactions that he responded to in those situations when he was younger, or ways with which he wished he could have responded. Now that I'm bigger and stronger, I can respond the way that I wish that I would have earlier.
Right. And that's how a situation like Chris Rock, even though it's so in his mind, possibly, even though it's a public forum and I'm thinking about, how it's impulsive and calculated, in his mind, how public it is might have been kind of, for lack of a better word, it was deformed a bit. It was diluted. It didn't seem to be as, he couldn't really think about all of the largeness of it doing it on that stage in that moment, because that schema in his head about what he would have wanted to do when he was younger, when he was experiencing these things, or even if he saw them in his home, diluted or, you know, kind of messed up that picture, and he acted out that schema.
And it wasn't about the hair. It was about appearing to be a protector in front of a woman that I care about, because I couldn't do it when I was younger. Jada is a substitute for his mother. That's what I think. I think that he has substituted his mother with Jada. I don't know. Maybe. But again, neither of us have had him on the couch, so I don't know. I don't know. You in California, though. Who knows who's coming across your couch? I have no idea.
I'm thinking, first of all, if the sales for his book go up any further, I hope we get some credit for that.
Yeah.
I might have to read it myself just to get a better understanding of what the possibilities could be.
Yeah, and I think that I've been meaning to get on Amazon. I'll probably get on Amazon and buy it and check it out. But, and then, you know, on the other side of that, I mean, you know, Chris Rock is about being bullied as a kid.
Yeah, you know, let's talk about that for a second, because so a lot of attention is going to Will Smith, and then there's other things that go to Chris Rock, because it's like, besides what he said, I think it takes a long time to unpack it and think about all of it. But let's think about it for a second in context of what he experienced when he was a kid. You know, he's been bullied. I mean, he even talked about the way he described it. The way I heard him describe it once was that, you know, I was physically attacked and sometimes things were sexual. And so, you know, it was very traumatic, sounds like it. And so this was a form of trauma that happened in a very public forum where nothing was done about it in that moment.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I just thought about that for a second, because at first I'm like, you know, I'm thinking just about Will and like, okay, so he's trying to think about, he went off the handle, maybe, you know, that's not all who he is. But then you got to think about the victim and who it affected. And then I thought about myself in context of, what if I was in a class or somewhere and then one student slapped another student, like, and I don't do anything about it, you know, like,
yeah,
then that would tell the rest of the students, like, oh, it's just like the wild, wild west here. Like, we want to slap somebody. We can just go ahead and slap. We ain't gonna do nothing about it.
Yeah.
And so that happened to Chris Rock in front of everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. What I thought about was, again, to be slapped as a man, and maybe I should just speak particularly to our culture. That is one, there are a few things that are ultimate disrespects. There are a couple of things that you can say that is the ultimate disrespect. One of the things that is the ultimate disrespect is to smack another man, because that is a sign that you are weak. That I think that you are so weak that I will smack you. I don't even have enough respect for you to punch you and stand and put my dukes up. I'm going to smack you and turn my back to you. After it happened and I saw it, I didn't even sleep that night. I couldn't even go to sleep. I was so uncomfortable for Chris Rock. This man has to go back to his children. And his children saw their father get punked and smacked. He has to go back to his brothers. He has to go back to his friends. That is the ultimate emasculation. To smack another man. That way. Like, he was like, from the time it happened, for whatever reason, in a man's mind, I think that Chris Rock will never let that go. He will always hold on to that. And I think that that is pride wrenching. You know, this idea of just letting it go. Like, I think that he will probably suffer some psychological residuals for that for a while. Because it is emasculating, and to be emasculating in that way in front of millions of people.
Right. For the listeners, I think I just have a snapshot of his history, but I think you should look further into Chris Rock's history, and he's talked about it on different forums, and get your own impression. But to me, the emasculation is definitely a part of it. But besides that, it's the former trauma that he's experienced. Now, from what I heard of it, the brief snaps that I heard about it is like he experienced that as a child. He experienced those traumas in school. I don't know if anybody was around in school or not. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. But if people were around in school, rather it's just other peers, it's this whole idea that no one's going to stop this from happening to me. Yeah. Then you get older, you make jokes. That's how you kind of deal with this stuff. And then you get a rehashing of that when you get older, when it might not even be fully processed because trauma can live with you for a while. And now it's back on the biggest, grandest stage. Not only that, it's like, we have been trying as people of color to like work our way into this forum and be respectable there and on par with everybody else. And that's where it happens to you.
Yeah. That's crazy. And what I'm afraid will happen is hopefully Chris Rock went to his therapist and start unpacking this stuff quickly, because there's a story that he tells about being bullied and bullied and bullied. And one day he got a brick and put it in his backpack and almost killed that kid. Right. So when you're fed up and you have enough, the response is extreme. So I hope that, I could see him building up and up and up and up, like this happening. And then his response being extreme, the same way it was when he was younger. You know what I'm saying? Right. I feel badly for him. Like, for someone to attempt to emasculate you in that way. You know what I'm saying? He's the main person that I have, like, true compassion for. I mean, I feel sorry for Will and Jada, but he is the true victim in all of this. Like, he really is a victim, bro, like you said. And then all of the trauma that he's dealt with, I feel sorry for him. I do.
Right. And then to add on to that, right? Because it really took me a minute to really think about all of it. I didn't start with Chris Rock. That's just the way I process it. I don't know how other people approached it. But when I got to Chris Rock, I could see better. It's like, it was less, the scales came off my eyes type thing. But then I started to think about the standing ovation. It's complicated because maybe Will Smith deserved a standing ovation for the work that he did. But the moment in which it happens for Chris Rock, possibly, is like, y'all just watched this man assault me, and now you're celebrating him. To me, what comes to mind, even though this is not Chris Rock's experience, it's like a child that lives in a home that's abusive, and the parents are being respected while they get beat.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. It's interesting. I think that he showed a lot of grace and a lot of poise. And to say that he didn't want charges pressed, even after it was all over, I think that was calculated as well.
Oh, yeah. Because
I already got smacked, and then am I going to look weak and like a punk if I press charges on him? Because, you know, as men, we're supposed to handle our business.
So, I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, I was thinking that maybe he just didn't want to see another black man get arrested, but it could have been, you know, I didn't think about that either.
I think it was straight calculated. It's like, if I have him arrested, if I tell the police to go out there and get him, I'm really going to look like a punk now. That makes me look even weaker. I already look weak. People are thinking that I handled it professionally, so let's ride this. Because think about how he looks if he had a police get him. I think people will be like, man, they'll double down on, man, he kind of soft. You got smacked and you ain't do nothing on stage, and you're going to have the police get him. Like, who calls the police on somebody else? So he was just put in a bad position, in a bad situation all the way around. And it's just not cool. And I don't care what Will Smith was going through. It's just not, it's not cool to do somebody else like that. Like, you have emotionally ruined somebody. And I wonder if, wherever Will Smith is, I wonder if he's reflecting on that. If he's so, because you know that these rumors about him. I wonder if he's so into his life and what's happening with him. Is he even thinking about unlocking someone else's trauma and the way he's embarrassed this other man?
Okay, well, I think in I don't want to say defense. I don't want people to be angry like, oh. But I want to say it's going to be difficult, reflective, when they are suffering the consequences of their poor choice. I mean, I think at the heart, even if someone is a little bit more egotistical, I think that there's always something in you that knows something was wrong. And that part exists, whether there are consequences or not. But it gets diluted a little bit when there are stern consequences, because then you got to deal with the reality of losing the money and what does this mean for my long-term situation? And then, okay, what is this? Now this girl I'm in a relationship with, I don't slap somebody for her and she's telling me she didn't need me to slap somebody. Like, anyways, there's all these little things he's got to think about besides that. So I don't think it's so much that he's not thinking about Chris Rock because he's selfish. I think he's being overwhelmed with the reality that he didn't expect.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope at some point he's able to reflect on that. Because to me, that is the most important and most poignant piece here. Is the idea of how you've affected somebody else's life. Like, in who knows, from an emotional and psychological perspective. I can only, like, I'm serious. Like, this really truly doesn't sit well with me. I can't imagine that this man has to face his children after being smacked by another man. He's already a smaller dude. You know what I'm saying? So there's this, and that's why Will Smith did it. And I've heard people say if that was Jason Momoa up there, he wouldn't have done it. He wouldn't have. If that was The Rock up there and made that joke, he wouldn't have went up there and did that.
Yeah, I get that. But I also feel like those statements are like, if it was The Rock up there, Rock wouldn't have said that joke. But I get it.
No, I'm saying he did it, and he smacked him because he thought this was someone that was weaker and smaller. That's why he did that way.
I get that point.
Nate, if it was you, he wouldn't have done that. You're a big dude. It wouldn't have happened.
I get it, but in context, another dude wouldn't have made that joke.
But saying that they did, what I think what precipitated it and what motivated it is this person is smaller and can't whoop me if they tried.
Okay, I get it.
He might have got up there and thrown a punch at you. He wouldn't have smacked you, though. He would not have smacked you. He wouldn't have smacked someone his size or bigger. There's no way. So, I don't know. It's a lot there, but I just, again, for those listening, I don't know. When somebody got you acting out of character, when your relationship got you out of character, like, I'm not saying leave anybody. I'm saying for me, that's when I'm saying for me, that's when it's time to take a step back and take stock of your relationships, and not just your intimate relationships. Can you fully and holistically truly be you in your relationships?
I think it's good advice. I think it's sometimes difficult because I think when people really start to lose themselves in the relationship and become part of that duet that they're in, sometimes they don't know they lost themselves because they forgot who they were in the first place. So it's not so easy to just be like, is this me? Sometimes you think it is you. Particularly, you know, sometimes people get in relationships and before that relationship, maybe they were a little bit mistrustful, but they become real mistrustful in this relationship because they're, and maybe things that are actually going on, they're like, is it me? Is it, and it's the dynamic in the relationship and they can't really tell the difference anymore. They can't tell, is this me or is this them?
Yeah. Yeah. That's scary. Well, I know now Mr. Smith is at a retreat dealing with his depression and anxiety and dealing with his emotions, and I applaud him for that. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, hopefully he knows that something was there and he's trying to get help. He didn't just go to the house and try to cover it up or whatever. Like, he's trying to get the help he needs. I mean, I hope that in all of this dialogue that I've said, I don't want to make it seem like I think he's a bad person. I feel sorry for him. I don't think it was the right thing to do, but obviously there's something emotional that's going on that put him in an emotional state to do that. And I don't think he should be defined by this. I hope he can make a comeback. You know what I'm saying? And sort of get back to, so far as respect and esteem, where he was, you know what I'm saying? I hope that there's, you know, there's redemption for him. I do, but.
Do you think, I don't know if they've ever worked together, Chris Rock and Will Smith, but do you think there'll be some type of public redemption for those two? Like, where they come together?
Of course. Even if it's fake and they do it for the cameras, I think they'll both do it. I was literally just thinking about that while we were sitting here. At some point or another, it may be a year from now. It may be a couple of years from now. At some point, they're going to get together and do an interview together. And they're going to say, we talk and we laughed and da 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 da. Now, how genuine it will be, I don't know. But I can promise you, I promise you, those two will do some sort of interview about this at some point. At some point, they're going to have to. This was too big of a deal for them not to reconcile publicly to help both of their careers at some point or another.
I think the other takeaway from this, we might have mentioned, I think we mentioned this before, is, and I don't know how many people would have had Will on a pedestal. I know a lot of people like Will, seems as a nice guy. But the higher you have someone on a pedestal, the lower they're gonna fall. And the reality is, we're all human. So as much as you can keep respecting people, but best believe, everybody is going to show you they're human at some point.
Yeah, yeah. I like a phrase that I heard a long time ago. I never forgot, and I like, and it was the brighter the lights, the darker the shadows.
Mm.
And, you know, everybody, you know, the thing is, when you're in the spotlight, I think these aren't things that normal, everyday, average people don't do. You know what I mean? Somebody gets mad and you say something to my wife and you go and you fight the neighbors with no t-shirt and no shoes on in the grass. Like, these kind of things happen all the time. Okay. But when you're in the spotlight, it looks that much more, because we've built this image of you, of this wholesome man, this wholesome guy. We don't see these people as people. We see them as larger than people. And I think that maybe that's the problem. The problem is we don't see them as people, but they don't paint themselves. And I think TV doesn't paint them as normal people. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I guess there's nothing that's fair in a sense, because there's nothing normal about their lives.
Yeah.
So this idea of, I don't know, I'm torn when they say we're people like you. No, you're not.
Okay, I mean, that's fair.
You're not like me.
Right, you definitely don't have no concerns about your bills. Everything's fair. Yeah, of course, right.
People carry your bags. You go to hotels, they comp you. You don't have to pay for anything. You're not like me. And it's like, I think what bothers me about some celebrities, they want all the good things that come along with it, but they don't want the other side of the coin.
Right.
You like the fame. You like the fortune. You like, you know, but all this other stuff comes with it. And I'm not saying it's fair. I'm saying it's what it is.
Well, you know what I think is really cool about what you said is that shadow point, because, you know, people... All right, I'll just think about NBA since we're getting towards the playoffs. Players that I like, you know, the GOAT, Michael Jordan. Yes, that's the GOAT. And then other people that I respect, Kobe, particularly Kobe. Kobe and Michael Jordan, what they both have in common is the shadow that you're talking about. Yeah. You talk to people about how Jordan would used to talk to people, some will tell you he talked to him kind of crazy, right? Yeah. Same thing with Kobe, you know what I'm saying? Wasn't the nicest guy about certain things. Yeah. That's a shadow. Except for I think Michael Jordan and Kobe embraced their shadow. I think sometimes people, probably with Will Smith, he has to pursue this part, the nice guy, and probably you won't get to see his shadows because it wouldn't be okay. It's okay with people like Michael Jordan, Kobe, or whatever. They embrace it. I think that did them a lot of good. It's like the whole Star Wars metaphor. You got to embrace all these sides of you, you know? But yeah.
Yeah, I think that we all try to hide our shadows. The issue is when their shadows are exposed, like, it's mind-blowing and it's crushing to people because you have been built up to be this wholesome person or this great person or this amazing person, emotionally invested in I think, celebrities and superstars and actors and actresses because they give us hope.
Yeah, they do.
They are a model and a metaphor for what I wish I could be. You know what I'm saying? So it's like we emotionally invest in these people. And then when they do something and they let us down, it's kind of like it's bigger than just Keelan next door doing something wrong. I'm not really emotionally invested in him. I don't look to him for hope. You know, when I'm feeling down, they don't come and pop in a Keelan movie. Like Will Smith has probably helped people. We're arguing. I can remember me and my son or somebody was arguing. We said, let's go catch a movie. And watching Will Smith on the screen just made us feel a little bit better about our day. Like people are completely invested. So that's why it's just a different thing when they fall, I think.
Right. And I can attest to that personally with Will Smith. You know, that movie, The Pursuit of Happiness. I mean, even Chris Gardner, the actual, you know, person it's based on. But that, it inspired me in ways on what can I accomplish even if I'm feeling like I'm against the wall. I was able to in times in my life where I felt like I had to be resilient. And his character, his portrayal of that character really did wonders for me. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. We shall see. But are we in agreements that at the core of this, our relationship is childhood trauma and relationship issues?
We are. It's all started at the red table.
Yeah. Why that was even allowed to happen? There's no way. D.O. Hughley told a joke, and he said, "If there's my wife, we can talk about this at the kitchen table. We're not talking about this at the red table. You're not finna put our business out there." I understand that they're. I understand the perspective that in being transparent, hopefully someone can identify it and can help them. I get that, but just some stuff, just I don't know, and I don't think that they thought it would cause the windfall that it did, ultimately leading up to that moment. Something that, you know, we've talked about before, when relationships break down, people see what happened at the end. But one of my favorite quotes is, you know, failure happens in steps and stages. It doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
I can't remember who said that, but that's one of my favorite quotes. And it keeps me mindful that people always focus on the end result. Somebody cheated or some kid beats up somebody. But what were all the steps and stages and little things that happened that led up to that moment that could have been stopped, that help could have been pursued, that was ignored in some way, that people never, you know, we don't see. We just see the end result. We see who did it, and we think that Will Smith is a monster or he's bad or he's a bad guy. When in actuality, there's so many small steps and stages that happened to him, that he endured so much trauma, as far back even as his childhood, that, you know, I have sympathy for him, you know, but we shall see. We'll see what happens. Yeah. We are.
Well, folks, we still didn't get to ending the trauma conversation, but don't you worry, we're going to end it next week. We kind of hit a lot of things that, you know, it's a case study with Will.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So we threw in a case study with our trauma series. But again, any questions, comments, suggestions, or ideas? And again, as we always say, we thank WMUL and Marsh University for giving us this platform. Again, as we always say, any of the perspectives or ideas that you hear on this show are not representative of any of the places or people that we serve on our jobs, any of our clients that we serve on our jobs, any universities that we work for, any consulting clients that we help. They aren't representative of Marshall University and their supporters or affiliates or sponsors. These are our sole perspectives and ideas. And again, anyone out there listening, we wish you all peace and blessings. Just trying to unpack stuff. We don't mean to be disrespectful or dismiss anyone's feelings, whether it be Jada Pinkett Smith's feelings, because we don't know what she's gone through to put her in a position to feel the way she feels. So we want to show her the utmost respect, as well as Mr. Smith, as well as Mr. Rock, you know, just from the outside looking in, trying to unpack stuff. For those out there listening, we thank you for your continued support. We hope you continue to support us, as we always say. And as I always say, you know, graveyards are full of regret and potential. When you die, make sure you die empty. Make sure you are doing something that sets your soul on fire, and make sure the people that you love know that you love them. Okay. And peace and blessings to you. And Dr. Chapman will take us out as always.
All right. So I'm trying to think about what we want you to take away. I think one thing, borrowing from D.L. Hewley, that we can think about is you don't want to let it get to the red table. So how do you stop it from getting to the red table? Take care of it at the kitchen table. What does that mean? Take care of it at home in your relationships. And then if you happen to be lucky enough to be a parent, take care of it when you're home. What do I mean by that? Be cautious about how you're talking to your kids, treating them. These are some things that might end up in a cycle of patterns that imprint some things in that person's life that can be sparked by a relationship later on in life, which may cause some behaviors that you just don't understand that might put that child's job in jeopardy or cause them to be in a situation where they harm someone in some way. I'm not saying these are factual. These are definitely going to happen. But I think if you're mindful about what you're doing at that kitchen table, what you're doing at home, what you're doing at your relationships, that might change how this person is in the world. That being said, you might want to ask yourself, what kind of partner am I? I know when we're in a relationship, a lot of times we're like, what kind of partner are they? What are they doing? You, they. But what about how you are in that relationship? You might want to ask yourself, what am I doing that really helps nourish my partner? Because there might be some things that you could do that would be helpful to growth. And if you find, if you're able to be honest with yourself that you're not really growing your partner, maybe you need to work on some things or consider a different relationship. All right, folks, that's it for today. Peace and blessings. Have a good holiday weekend. We'll see y'all later.
Here we are again.
Brace yourself.
88.1 WMUL FM 100.